Again, and turn to number 453, Teach Me Thy Way, O Lord. Shall we stand together and sing? Number 453.
Teach me. Which works.
I walked today where Jesus walked in days of long ago. I wandered down each path he knew with reverent steps and slow. Those little lanes, they have not changed. A sweet peace fills the air. I walk today where Jesus walked and felt his presence there. My pathway led to Bethlehem, our memories ever sweet. Those little hills of Galilee that knew those childish feet. The Mount of Olives hallowed scenes that Jesus knew before. I saw the River Jordan roll as in the days of yore. I knelt today where Jesus knelt, where all alone he prayed. The Garden of Gethsemane, my heart was unafraid. I picked my heavy burden up and with him by my side, I climbed the hill of Calvary. I climbed the hill of Calvary. I climbed the hill of Calvary. Where on the cross he died. I walk today where Jesus walked and felt him close to me.
Let's take our Bibles this morning. Please turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Just a few moments ago, we sang the song, "This World Is Not My Home." I wanted to fix something there. There was a misprint on the screen, and that happens. I guess some of you saw that. And the song says, on the screen, it said, "I have a loving Savior up in glory land. I don't expect to stop until I shake her hand." We don't believe that here. I just want to make sure you got that. The song says, "I have a loving Savior up in glory land. I don't expect to stop until I with him stand." All right, that happens sometimes. And the guys will be typing the songs and just get going too fast and mix the words up with. There was another verse of that song, "I have a loving mother over in glory land," and then her hand. And so I think the verses got all mushed together somehow. So please, I'm glad that wasn't on TV. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, but we don't believe that. If you're visiting with us here today, we believe in Jehovah God, and we don't believe in a feminine God. And so I that might offend some of you. I don't care. That's what the Bible says. And so Matthew chapter 26, let me ask you for some help. We have a few trees to be planted. Mr. Vogel picked up some trees for us because they're... some of our other trees are getting taller and older, and in a few years, of course, they'll have to come down. They'll die, so we want something there to replace them. And so we could use some help planting some trees in the next day or two if you're interested in helping with that. Also, you see we took some of the shrubs out around the church. They were dying underneath, and of course, they get buried by the snowplow, and the lawnmowers clip them and things. But it just looks so much nicer, don't you think, around the church there, all those cleaned up, those dead shrubs. So we need to do some sodding, and if you're handy at all, if you have a green thumb at all, we could use your help in the next day or two. We're going to be out there planting trees and putting some sod down, and so we could use a couple of people to help us with that, especially if you've done it before. That would really be a help, or else it might look awful next week if you see Brother Paul and I doing it. So come and help if you're able. Just let me know if you're coming. We'd appreciate that so much. Matthew chapter 26, the title of my message this morning is Those Present at the Lord's Table. Those present at the Lord's table. You know, there was quite a cast of characters present at the Last Supper. And if you will, it's not just the Last Supper, it was the first Lord's table. Paul, of course, in 1 Corinthians talks about the Lord's table and how the Lord had given it unto him and unto the church, and they begin to practice that in remembrance of Jesus Christ. Well, the Last Supper was the Passover meal. And Jesus had come with his disciples, and it was there that they would take that lamb that was declared spotless by the priest. They would slay it, and they would eat it. And, of course, that was in remembrance of the Passover of Israel. And, you know, nothing has changed. Jesus Christ came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill it. And as they took that Passover meal, of course, they were looking back that when God saw the blood on the lintels in Egypt, he would pass over those people that put their faith in the blood. And so it's no different today. We look back, and if we are covered in the blood of Christ, God will pass over us as well when he comes in judgment. And that's very important. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, then you're lost. You need to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to be sure that more than anything else, you're covered by the blood of Christ. People say, well, I don't like this bloody religion. I don't like that. Listen, if there's no shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And so we need to understand that Christ died for us, but he shed his blood to pay the price for our sins. So I hope you're saved today, and I trust that if you're not, that you'd allow somebody to take a Bible and show you what it means to have eternal life. Now, we're going to look at these different characters at the Lord's table. Who was present there? And that'll lead us right into our observance of the Lord's table this morning. Look, at, if you will, in verse 17 of Matthew chapter 26. Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Let's pray together. Father, help us, Lord, to examine our hearts in light of Scripture today, to be sure that we know Christ as our Savior, that we are covered in the blood of Jesus, that when God returns in power and glory, he will see only the blood of Christ upon us and pass over us. Father, as we come to this table this morning in remembrance, we ask, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, truly to be thankful for what you've done for us. Father, if we have aught with a brother, we need to make it right. Leave our gift at the altar and go and gain thy friend. Father, we pray that you just help us, Lord, to use this time of teaching and preaching the Word of God to penetrate our hearts. May the Spirit of God show us and help us. And Lord, may the Lord's table be a sweet time of fellowship and remembrance. And Lord, may you receive much honor and glory. Fill me with thy Spirit, I pray. I surrender to you. And Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. There were 13 men that gathered in that upper room. We're not sure, but it's likely there were some others that were there serving the food. We know that there was a man that owned the house, and likely his family would perhaps take part in the meal or perhaps help with this meal. But the Scripture just records these characters, these disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Later, 11 of them would be known as the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at each of them, they're very distinct in their characters. You know, it's interesting that those that are outgoing and seem to have that kind of spirit and personality, they seem to always be mentioned more in Scripture. I don't know that their abilities were any better than anybody else, that they could preach anybody better than anybody else, that they did more miracles than any of the other disciples, but it just seems like there's some that were always in the forefront, like Peter, James, and John. There was others that we rarely hear anything about. But yet they went out and they cast out demons and they preached the word of God and they healed the sick and they did all kinds of many works in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one among them that wasn't even saved. And yet he was included in their number for those 3 years until he took his own life in shame because of his betrayal. He's the first that we'll look at this morning as we look at this character study, if you will. At present at the table of the Lord was one who would betray him. One who would betray him. The Bible talks about him in verses 21 through 25, and the Lord says, there's one here that will betray. And they became sorrowful, and they said, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dipped his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And then in verse 25, Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, thou hast said. The word betray means this. It means to deliver up one to custody, to be judged, condemned, punished, scourged, tormented, and put to death. I find that interesting. We often use the word betray today in a different sense or manner. We can share a secret with somebody, and if they pass that on, we can say that they betrayed our trust. Or we can feel betrayed by somebody that does something behind our back. But the word betrayed, and so that's why I looked it up. I thought, well, maybe Judas was betraying the Lord Jesus Christ, but he did not realize what might come of it. This is a very unique word in Scripture. The Greek word literally means, and they would understand what it means, because often somebody might betray a friend to a Roman soldier. They might be guilty of some crime, and so somebody would take a bribe or take money and betray their friend, knowing very well that they would be convicted and put to death for their crime. There's no reason to misunderstand this word. If you were living in the first century, and if you were a part of this time, you would understand when the Bible uses this word betray in this particular context, it literally means to deliver one over, knowing full well they're going to be judged, condemned, punished, scourged, tormented, and put to death. Judas knew exactly what he was doing. Make no mistake about it. I'm going to label each one of these groups today. I don't know, sometimes we label people. I don't know that we ought to label people. But for understanding, I'm going to label these in the Scriptures so that we can understand where they are. And the label I put upon Judas is the foolish. He was a fool. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Listen, this is not the practice of a man who believes in a holy God. This is not the practice of a man who believes he will stand before Almighty One God one day in judgment for his actions. You see, when we believe in God and we believe that there is a holy God and a righteous God and a God that will stand in judgment for us, it affects our behavior. You know, Judas stood face to face with the Creator and the Redeemer of this world, and he rejected him nonetheless. That was one that was present at the table. Turn, if you will, keep your finger in Matthew 26, and look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. The Lord must have known we needed this passage. Brother McDonald preached on it at the men's breakfast yesterday. 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, and that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, listen, I don't believe there's any coincidences in the Word of God, but in the very same passage where the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And it talks about all the things that are in the world, the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then it says, there are antichrists in this world. Now, if I can pull verses 15 through 19 right out of this passage, I would say this is the biography of Judas Iscariot. Here is a man that loved the world. He loved the things of the world. He covenanted about the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. You know what the Bible says is the root of all evil? The love of money. The love of this world. And so he loved this world, and the Bible says he was an antichrist. And then in verse 19, these same people that love the world, the things of the world, and are antichrist, it says they went out from us, but they were not of us. You know, we like to throw a word around today. We like to say, well, you know, they're backslidden. They're not in church because they're backslidden. I think sometimes when we candy coat things, we miss the truth. Now, I believe a Christian can backslide. I believe that. I believe you can get caught up in sin. But is it possible that they weren't of us in the first place? That they weren't truly saved? For 3 years, Judas walked the walk and talked the talk. He had all the other 11 disciples fooled. Jesus Christ was never fooled. He said there was one that was a devil from the beginning. He knew. But the other 11 disciples, he fit right in. He was fine. He was present there at the Lord's table, and nobody thought he shouldn't be. Except for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But was he saved? I need to encourage you and challenge you today to examine your heart. How many of you today have a love for the world? The Bible says you're a fool. You're a fool. You're trying to gain those things which you cannot keep. You're trying to hold on to those things that will give you a temporary and temporal pleasure. But if you love those things of the world, you need to ask yourself these three questions. They went out from us because they were never of us. Are you truly saved? Judas was not. I had somebody argue with me one time, said, well, I believe Judas was saved. I said, if I believe Judas was saved, I can't believe that Christ would call him a devil. And it says at the Last Supper in the book of John, then the devil entered into him. Listen, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit indwells the believer. The devil doesn't come in. He influences, he tempts, he offends us, he trips us up. But listen, are you going to one day betray the Lord Jesus Christ because of your love for this world? Are you going to turn your back on him? He said, oh, it'll never happen to me. Take heed lest ye fall. We need to be careful and let go of those things of the world. You know how much God loves you? He gave his only begotten Son. And yet we betray him with our lives. We betray him with our lips. There was another character there at the table. The Bible says back in Matthew chapter 26, in verse 31, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Now, don't make the mistake. Jesus did not offend them. That's not what the scripture says. It says you'll be offended because of me. Because of what is happening to me. Because of what the Roman soldiers are doing to me. because of what the Jewish leaders have prescribed might happen to me. You'll be offended. The word offend means to put a stumbling block or impediment in the way upon which another may trip and fall, to cause a person to begin to distrust and desert one whom he ought to trust and obey, weakening our faith. You know, there's some public schools that are going to stand before God one day for weakening the faith of others. Preaching evolution. And they don't just preach evolution, by the way. They tell you you're a fool if you believe in creation. That we're dumb, that we're small-minded, that we're foolish. That's weakening the faith. They're going to stand before God for that. They've offended other people. You know, the disciples, they were being tested and even warned of the testing, and yet the Bible says they all fled when Christ was tried, and they followed from a safer distance. I told you I was going to label these today. The first one, Judas, we labeled as the foolish. This group I'm going to label as the forgetful. Why would we call them the forgetful? Why were they so easily offended? Why did they stumble and fall? Well, first of all, they stumbled because they forgot the preaching of Christ. They forgot. They forgot that Jesus Christ promised that he would be with them always. They forgot the time where Jesus Christ sent them out and they went two by two and they preached and the demons were subject to his name. They forgot all that Jesus Christ had taught them and fear crept into their lives. And because they forgot, their expectations were different than reality. How many of you have had expectations but they were different than reality? Has that ever happened? Boy, that'll cause discouragement to creep in. I remember graduating Bible college. We got some students here today, and I want you to listen to this and try to encourage you if I can. I remember graduating from Bible college, and I'd grown up at Bethel, and all I ever knew was a church that had lots of things and lots of talent and you know, good congregation and youth group and all the rest. And so I got a call from Marvin Masker, and he said, listen, would you pray about coming and working in Stony Creek? And I said, yeah, I'll pray about that. And I prayed a couple weeks and made the decision, and we went to Stony Creek, and we got married. I graduated May 20th in Springfield, Missouri. May 24th, I got married in Lubbock, Texas, and by May 31st, we were at church at Bethel. And so, I mean, it was just a whirlwind trip. And so we got here, and we came to church, and then that Wednesday night, we joined the church, June 1st, we joined the church in Stony Creek, Ambassador Baptist. And I got to tell you, my expectations were different than reality. And I walked into a church that could seat 32 people comfortably. And I looked around and went, wow, where do we put all the people? He says, we'd be happy to fill these chairs. I remember having a youth group and starting with some teens. And a bunch of these teens had been abused by a previous pastor. And now they were 13, 14, 15, and dealing with homosexuality. And I thought, is this really ministry? I remember the choir singing, and I remember the youth activities, and I remember, is this what ministry is all about? You see, when we get expectations that are different from reality, we're bound to have disappointment and be offended, be discouraged, and give up. That's what happened to the disciples. Even though Christ had told them they were going to Jerusalem, he was going to die. He says, and when I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. He told them. And yet they still expected he's going to ride in. The triumphal entry probably encouraged their hearts that Jesus was going to be installed as king. They were fighting who's going to sit at the right hand and who's going to sit at the left hand. And they thought this is going to be a wonderful thing. And then reality set in. And they were offended. And they fled. Can I encourage you that make sure your expectations are real? They're based upon reality. Do you know if you're going to deal with people, you're dealing with sinners? They're going to discourage you. They're going to let you down. And you're going to get offended easily and leave the church. But listen, why don't you turn your eyes upon Jesus Christ? We sang this morning, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Well, don't trust in anybody but him. Look in the eye. You're going to be offended when you look at men, just like the disciples were, because their expectations exceeded reality. They had forgotten what Christ had taught them. Had they remembered, they'd have been better prepared for the trial. Secondly, they forgot the promises of Christ. Just before the Last Supper, Christ said this, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Christ was preparing them with his promises. Yes, we're going to go through a trial. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be tried. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be spit upon. I'm going to die. But I'm going to rise again. And I'll go before you into Galilee. And then I'm going to prepare a place for you. But they had forgotten the promises of God, and so they were offended. And thirdly, they forgot their past with Christ. You know, one of our best teachers is experience. You know, I can't tell you how many times trials come in our lives and we look back and we say, well, you know what? God's been faithful. He's always paid the bill. He's always taken care of the need. And yet we worry again, don't we? Just this last week, I was thinking and praying and saying, Lord, I've been making my school payments, but I still got quite a bit left. Lord, I need to pay that bill. And I'm going to tell you, I'm careful about paying my bill because I know that I'm the pastor and I need to be the example. And so I know that Sarah sees who pays the bill. She takes care of all the books. And I know that Mr. Judge sees that. And I don't want to be a bad testimony to them. And so I want to pay my bills. And so I had about $1,000 left on my bill. And just, 2 weeks left to pay it. So I started praying. You know, the Lord gave us that money on Friday. The entire amount. And we were able to go and pay our bill. Praise the Lord. And so you say, what are you going to do next time you have problems with money? I'm just going to pray. I'm not going to worry because the Lord has shown himself faithful in the past. The disciples were offended because they forgot for 3 years they walked with the King of Kings. They saw his power. They saw his mercy and his grace. And then the trial comes and they said, oh no. Listen, experience is a good teacher. He said, well, I don't have a lot of experience. Why don't you get some? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Try him. Test him. And prove me, he says in Malachi. And see if he's not faithful. You know, the Lord won't let you down. They forgot the past. So they were offended by him because they were forgetful. There was another there at the table. There was one who would deny him. One who would deny Jesus Christ. Verse 33 in our text, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus, if I can read between the lines, he said, you're going to do more than be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Is there anybody here that doesn't know how that story ends? Good, I can just move on then. How many of you know that he denied him 3 times and then the cock crew? I mean, exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ said. I won't take the time to read all the scripture, but there was one there that would deny him. The word deny means to affirm that one has no acquaintance or connection with someone. No, I don't know. I don't know who they are. The label I'm going to put upon Peter is this, the fearful. We have the foolish, we have the forgetful, but we also have the fearful. He was afraid of what the others might think. And by the way, they weren't all soldiers. They weren't all people that necessarily could hurt him in any way. The Bible says there was a little damsel was one of them. Aren't you a Galilean? Weren't you with them? They began to curse and swear, no, not me. He was fearful of what others may think. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, if we deny him, he also will deny us. If you say, I don't know who he is, you say, well, I would never do that. Let me ask you this, does your behavior deny that you're connected to him? It doesn't have to be verbal, but does your behavior deny? Are you ashamed to pray in a restaurant? When you're on the job place, in the workplace, can people tell you're a Christian? Or does your behavior deny it? There ought to be a difference. And the reason that we don't behave like we ought to do in the workplace is because we're fearful. Well, they might call me a holy roller. Aw. poor baby. Isn't that tough? I get a kick. Channing will complain to his mom, and Judy will say, "Aw, muffin." That's. I wonder if the Lord feels that way sometimes. "Aw, you poor little child. They spit on me. They drove nails in me. Put a crown of thorns on me. And I didn't do a thing wrong. I did it because you did a thing wrong. Because you sinned." Do we deny him, the one who died for us? That's the fearful. There's one more I want to give you. This one here, I'm going to tell you, it excites me. There were some there that would go on to live for him. I got a label for them too. You ready? You listening? The forgiven. Nobody's excited about that at all. The forgiven. There were some foolish people at that table. There were some fearful people at that table. There were some people that were forgetful, but they were forgiven. That's the wonderful message of the gospel. Turn, if you will, to a parallel passage in John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do now, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter saith unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus saith unto him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all." For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, "Ye are not all clean." Jesus Christ came to the disciples and began to wash their feet. Peter tried to rebuff the Lord and say, "No, I should be washing your feet. You shouldn't wash my feet." And Jesus said, If I don't wash your feet, thou hast no part with me." He said, what is the significance? Was it just the act of servanthood that Jesus could serve them? I believe it was more than that. I believe it's a picture of forgiveness. Jesus knew that Peter would deny him. In Matthew chapter 26, he knew that before the cock crew, he would deny him thrice. And we see that picture throughout Scripture, that Jesus knew what Peter was about to do to him. And yet he got down before him and he washed his feet. And he says, "If I wash your feet, you're part of me. If I don't wash your feet, you're not part of me." And Peter says, "Then wash all of me." And he says, "No, if I just wash your feet, you're clean. You're forgiven." It was a picture of salvation through Jesus Christ, allowing Christ into your life. But he said, there's one that's not. For he knew who would betray him. You see, you may have, in this life, been offended by probably well-intentioned people that call themselves Christian. That's going to happen all the time. Somebody didn't shake your hand. Somebody said an unkind word. Somebody didn't treat me right. Because we're all about me, right? It's about how I'm feeling. It doesn't matter if they're right or wrong. And you might have been offended. And you, because of your offense, have forgotten those things that Christ has installed in your life and what Jesus has done for you. The good news is you can be forgiven today. You can get right with the Lord right now. He'll come and He'll make you clean, just like He did for the disciples. There are some there that would even deny the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe you've denied Him with your walk and denied Him in your life in some way. Christ will forgive you today. But maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're like Judas and you betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. You'd just be as happy if the Lord would pass away from the scene that we would never hear from Him again. And that's why I think of the evolutionists and those ungodly teachers that are teaching that nonsense, and those that are pushing for abortions that can just be fully funded by the government. Friends, listen, they have betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says they are not forgiven. They need to be saved. They need to come to Christ. Maybe you're in that position today. Jesus Christ will save you. And He'll forgive you of all your sins, but your first step is that step of faith in trusting in Him. Would you come today? You know, I believe that there are those that will get to the point of a reprobate mind, as it says in Romans chapter 1. Unable to see the truth, unable to comprehend, unable to turn to the Lord. Don't you let your life get that far. Come to Jesus today. If He's speaking to your heart, if the Holy Spirit is working upon you today, today is the day of salvation. The more you turn Him away, the closer you get to that reprobate heart, the closer you get to the place where Judas was, where he was not clean. And if I can say, I don't believe he could be saved because of his reprobate mind. You say, do you believe the Lord can't save? I believe the Lord can save anybody. I believe Judas lacked the ability to repent anymore because of his perverted mind and his sin sick ways. That's where sin will take you. Who were present at the table? At the end of the day, there was Judas and a bunch of other guys who were forgiven. Does their sin matter? Well, it matters before the Lord. It's all washed away now. It's gone. As we come to the Lord's table today, that's why we take a moment. We examine our own lives and our hearts. And say, Lord, am I right with you? Is there sin in my life? The Lord will forgive you. And He'll give you that remembrance of Him afresh and anew. Let's just take some time this morning and bow our heads and close our eyes. Our invitation time will be around the Lord's table. I'm going to ask you to take a little bit of time to pray as our men gather in the back and come down to the Lord's table. Jesus Christ loves you and He died for you. That's the theme of this table here today. We can talk about the foolish, the forgetful, the fearful, and the forgiven. But at the end of the day, there was only two groups of people. There was the foolish, who knew not Christ, and there was the forgiven, who Jesus Christ came into their lives and forgave them of their sins. You know, you too are one of those. Christian, you may have denied Christ, you might have been offended, but at the end of the day, if you came to Jesus Christ, you've been forgiven. I'm going to ask you today to seek the Lord's face even now and be forgiven of your sin. Get your heart right with God. Deacons, would you gather? Or men are helping at the Lord's table. Would you gather at the back at this time, please? But maybe there's somebody here today that's not been forgiven of their sin. Would you trust Jesus Christ today? At the end of this service, we'd like to be able to help you if we could. Take a Bible and show you what it means to have eternal life. Would you come to Jesus before it's eternally too late? Men, if you'll come. We're going to observe a few moments of silence. Let every man examine his own heart. The Lord's table will not save you. It's just a remembrance of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Looking back upon His broken body and His shed blood. Let me encourage you to examine your hearts and your lives. It's a part of the fellowship of the church. It's a time where we, as a church family, gather together in corporate worship, but also remembrance. Let's take that time to examine our hearts now.